Good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. We are in the book of Acts, the second chapter. We're going to read verse 38 and verse 41 and 42 for our text verse. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we're just so thankful for this day and the blessings that you've given us. And Lord, just ask you to watch and care over us. Ask that as your word goes forth that we'll apply it to our everyday lives, Lord. And if there are anyone here who has never accepted you, Lord, we just pray that they'll come to know Jesus as their Savior. Thankful for all you've done for us through Christ. Ask all these names, all these things in his name. Amen. I was working on a sermon series, Be of Good Cheer, and I'm going to get back to that. But if all goes well, we're going to have a baptismal service this morning. So I wanted to talk about that. And the title of my message this morning is God's Plan for All. And what I want to talk about is saved, baptized, church, and faithful in that order. Brother Steve, could you turn the pump off for me? Thank you. And so God has a plan for all, and God especially saved people. God has a plan for us, but he has a plan for all. And sometimes we talk about that plan from the standpoint of, Lord, what should I do today? And Lord, help me at work, help me witness, help me in my daily living, help me with my job, help me in my relationships. And I believe God has a plan, and there's some verses that talk about that. Jeremiah 29:11. I really like the verse, "For I know the thoughts or plans that I think or have towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts or plans of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end." So God has a plan for us in our everyday lives. Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for the good of them," right? All things work together for good. It doesn't always start good, right? I mean, we can have bad things happen. I mean, life happens, but God has a plan and he'll work them to good. But what does the rest of that verse say? To them that love the Lord, right? And Jesus said, if you love me, what will you do? Keep my commandments. One of the things that we really need to be careful about, the Bible makes lots of promises. God has a plan, good thoughts for us, thoughts of peace. All things will work together for good, in the end. Sometimes we claim those promises, yet we are not doing the obedience part, right, to get us there. And there's all kinds of things in dealing with obedience because we're going to have a baptism, and that's so important. I just want to start with the basics of obedience. Now, salvation isn't obedience, but before we can do obedience, you got to be saved, right? Some of this is going to be some of the same verses we covered. Brother Dave did a great job this morning. Brother David did a great job in Sunday school. But just a couple of points I want to make, in that there's an order. Some people try to serve the Lord without being saved. I mean, you can't do that. And you can't live God's will without doing that. God's will is that you need to be saved, right? And I'm going to use the verse in Acts, same verses that Brother David used, to kind of show that there's an order to obedience, that God has an order to God's plan, and part of that includes our obedience. So one of the things we're going to consider this morning, I'm a visual person, so I'm going to put this up here, and I know that this is kind of basic, but you know, what verses do we use to back these up? Every lost sinner, and everyone is lost, right? For all of sin comes short of the glory of God. Every lost sinner needs to be saved, right? And Jesus came and died so that we could all be saved. And all we have to do is accept him, and he will do that. One of my favorite verses, Romans 10:13, so simple. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what's the promise? Shall be saved. That's it. That's it right there. Every child of God, right? If you're saved, every child of God needs to be baptized. That's the first act, first act of obedience. And then every baptized child of God needs to be churched. Baptism is a church ordinance. The church administers it. But just because you're baptized doesn't make you a church member. Now, I don't know why a church would ever baptize anyone without them making them a member, but you can be baptized and move your membership or not be a member or whatever, but every saved, baptized child of God needs to be part of the Lord's church. That's how we serve him. Jesus says, I will build my church. And that's where obedience happens. Romans 3:23, glory unto him. Where? In the church. I mean, you cannot faithfully satisfy the will of God outside of the Lord's church. That's just the way it is. And every baptized... Here's the last one. Every churched child of God needs to be faithful, right? You know, sometimes we think I'm saved, good enough. Sometimes baptized, good enough. Church member, good enough. You know, I've done a few faithful things. It's faithful to the very end, right? To continue to be faithful. So we're going to look at God's plan, and this is it. And we're going to use our text to kind of show that. Every lost sinner needs to be saved. And Brother David did a great job, and you know, Peter was preaching. There was probably people saved there. You know, they were Jews, and Jews knew how to be saved, right? And so there was probably saved people there. And it goes down in verse 47, such as should be saved. So some of them were saved. Whatever their need is. Here's the thing. You need to be saved. And these verses talk about being right with God. Repent. Why? Remission of sin. Why do I need to be saved? I need to be saved because I'm a sinner. I need to be born again. And Brother David did a great job on looking at what repentance is versus being born again. But we need to be born again. And they gladly received his word. When I was saved, the preacher preached and he said, I needed Jesus Christ as my personal savior. And I received the word. I believed. I went down and I said, Lord, save me. And he did. Such as should be saved. So, there is a step in having a relationship with God, not obedience, but having a relationship with God. You got to be saved, right? That is important. And such as should be saved. Some were saved that day and continued to be added to the church later on. And so the point that I want to make is every lost sinner needs to be saved. And I'm going to try to stay in the book of Acts because it talks a lot about these steps. It shows us these steps. And this is Paul and Silas, right? They're in Philippi, and they've been preaching. And there's already a church established in Philippi. And if I have it right, it's Lydia and her family. And anyway, Paul is preaching there. They asked him to save and to stay and to teach. And Lydia says, if I be found faithful, stay, teach. And Paul did, and he got arrested, him and Silas, and got thrown in jail. And at midnight, they're singing, happy to be serving the Lord. You know, if I'm thrown in prison, even if it's serving the Lord, I'm not sure. I want, right? I want what Paul had, and I'm a child of God. I want to be able, even in persecution, Peter talks about that, you know, if we're serving the Lord, if we're following Christ's steps, happy are ye, right? And so there's this earthquake, they've been singing and praying, and all the doors are open, and the jailer, the one responsible for them, pulls out his sword, and it was there. They were going to kill him, and so he was going to kill himself. And they said, "Stop! We're all here. Don't do that. We're not going anywhere." Even the prisoners that were bad guys didn't leave. That's the thing that's interesting. And he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? I want what you have. How do I do that?" And they said unto him, "Believe," right? "Believe on the Lord, and you will be saved." And this is something your whole house can have. Now, I don't believe that the head of the house saves the rest of the family, but the head of the house can sure set an example for the rest of the family, and that's what's going on here. And boy, I don't want to just be saved and my kids and grandkids and no one else be saved, right? I want my whole family to share in this. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord. You know, I almost at this point think that he's saved, and then they're telling him more things about obedience, and to all that were in the house, and they took him the same hour and were baptized, right? And so, but he said, "What must I do?" Every lost person, for God so loved the world, he wants everybody to come to know Jesus Christ. God wants to have a relationship. That's what salvation is. Jesus says, John 17:3, eternal life is that they may know you and me. That is what eternal life is, having a relationship, born again, being spiritually dead, spiritual alive unto the Lord. Brought them out, set them at meat, rejoice, believing in God with all of his house. So what must I do to be saved? That's the very first thing. If you want God to work in your life, you better have a relationship with him. That's the only way that it will work. God's plan for all, every lost sinner needs to be saved, and every saved child of God needs to be obedient, right? And baptism is that first act of obedience. And one of the things that's kind of interesting, and I've used this before, so I don't want to get into too much detail, but when Jesus came to John to be baptized, and John says, I'm not worthy to even tie your shoe, much less administer baptism to you, even though he was the only one who could, scripturally, in obedience, baptize Jesus. And Jesus says, "Suffer it now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." It was Jesus' first act of following the will of God. If it was to fulfill Jesus' act of righteousness, it's ours first act. Peter says this in 1 Peter 3:21, "The like figure whereunto even baptism doth now also save us." Now that's talking about sanctification. Sometimes we get sanctification sets us apart unto God, and if we're not sanctified, then we're doing worldly things and we're sinning. So sometimes sanctification is used, the word saved, saving our life from sin, setting us apart for the Lord. And that's what he's talking about here, that baptism doth now save us from the sins that if we weren't being sanctified in obedience, that we would be committing. But here's the part I want you to get. I'm going to read that again. "That like figure hereunto even baptism doth now save us." And in quotes or parentheses, he explains, not the putting away of the filthy flesh, not the saving me as a sinner, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. So if I'm saved, the Holy Spirit's going to lead me. I believe the Holy Spirit, if somebody desires to follow the Lord they will, God will lead them to a church, to a scriptural church. And the first act of obedience is baptism, and disobedience, right, is to refuse that. And so if I follow the Lord in baptism and then the other things, I have a clear conscience. If I don't follow the Lord in obedience, what's going to happen with my conscience? The Holy Spirit is going to bear witness with my spirit that I'm not doing what the Lord is leading me to do. And so the verse here, it talks about they repented, and the other verse saved. But the second step there, Peter says, be baptized in the name of, in the authority, right, of Jesus Christ. And Jesus gave to his church in the Great Commission, we baptize in the Trinity, the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then they that gladly received the word, they believed the word that Jesus Christ is the Christ. And the next step for them was to be baptized. And we come to the Ethiopian eunuch, and however you want to see that, verse 37, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou may, and he says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son. Whether you believe that he was already a saved Jew and then he is believing that Jesus is the Messiah or believing he's saved, it doesn't matter. What he asks here, what is interesting, what hindering me for being baptized? There is a step before you're baptized. You have to be saved. Now, whether this individual was saved or already saved and then acknowledged, it doesn't matter to me. Here's the thing. He says, here's water. What prevents me? What step is there that I must do to be baptized? And Philip says, if thou believest in thy heart, thou mayest. And he says, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. Whether he accepted Jesus at that moment or acknowledged Jesus, he was already saved, had a relationship with God and accepted Jesus as, acknowledged Jesus as Messiah, it doesn't matter. He realized there is a step pre-baptism, right? That we must be saved. And they commanded the chariot to stand still. And what did they do? They went into the water, and it is baptism. The word literally means to immerse, to plunge, to dip. It is a word that has to do with dyeing something. Joyce has a blue dress, and if you baptize that dress, that would be the word, dip that dress, if you just poured some blue dye on it when it was made, would it all be blue? And I know they do it before the dress is made, but it wouldn't do it. If you sprinkle, how are you going to get this gray coat gray or the material it was made of? You got to put it all the way in the dye, right? That's the word. And so it is full immersion. And that's important because what baptism is, Romans 6, 3 and 4, know ye not that as many of us were baptized into Jesus, were baptized into his death. I once heard a pastor say, and I kind of chuckled to myself, you know, when we buried, and he had an uncle that had died, and he said, you know, when we buried him, we didn't just go pour a little dirt on him or sprinkle a little dirt on him. We buried him, right? Dead people get buried. And it is a picture, right? In water, where we don't, you know, we don't leave you there. We do bring you back up. Many of you have been baptized and lived through it, right? To tell the tale. But it is a picture. Verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. It is a picture that I'm going to be obedient. It's actually a picture that I am being obedient and will continue to be obedient. It's interesting, in 1 Corinthians 10, the Israelites, when they left Egypt, came across the Red Sea, and Paul tells the story to the Corinth church, And he says there that when they came from Egypt to the Sinai Desert there, through the Red Sea, it says that they were baptized unto Moses. We're baptized unto Christ. They were baptized unto a new life. What was interesting is children of Israel says, that they said, you know, God's brought us out here to die. Let us, they actually said at times, we wish we could go back to Egypt. But they couldn't, could they? Because they couldn't get back across the Red Sea. They were baptized unto Moses in that they had no choice. They were committed unto Moses. And that is what our commitment should be, in that when we're baptized unto Christ. That's the commitment, the obedience unto new life. Now, lots of people after salvation and baptized don't live their life for Christ, right? Kind of like the Egyptians, wish we could go back, you know. But that's the picture, is saved, baptized. It's the first act of obedience. The third thing, every lost sinner needs to be saved. Every saved child of God needs to be baptized. Every baptized child of God needs to be churched. You know, being a church member, that's what I mean by that. That's where God wants us, or that's where we develop as children of God. He said, be baptized, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, because of remission, because you're saved, right? That's what's being said there. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. When you're baptized, you don't get the Holy Spirit as indweller. Brother David has done a great job on this. There's three works, and I talk about this often. There's three works of the Holy Spirit. Convicts the lost, indwells the saved. When you are born again, you have the Holy Spirit bearing witness with our spirit, the child of God. The third work is the comforter, to lead the church into all truth. Jesus says, where two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst, in the form of the Holy Spirit. Paul says in Romans, the eighth chapter, in dealing with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, Christ be in you, and if Christ not be in you, right, you're not his. Not Christ, but the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the representative there. And so one of the things here, they had to be saved, they had to be baptized before they could have access to the Holy Spirit as comforter through the church. And the same day they were added unto them in the church at Jerusalem, about 3,000 souls. There's another place where there's, 4,000 added. That church grew fast, and boy, what an incredible thing. And I prayed the Lord would bless us, maybe not quite that fast. I don't know how we'd keep up, but I do pray that the Lord will have people be saved, want to be baptized, want to join the church. And the Lord added unto the church daily. And so we find here, it talks about, you know, you need to know you're saved, then you need to act of obedience, then you need to be part of the Lord's church. So you not only have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but it's the promise of the Comforter leads us into all truth. That's the, you know, I think the Holy Spirit that indwells us, I think the fruits of the Spirit is what's there, but we can't fully serve and be who we are supposed to be as a child of God without having being part of the Lord's church and having access to the Holy Spirit as Comforter. Acts 19th chapter, and this is a little confusing, but it's really, really important in dealing with being churched and baptism. And sometimes people, their baptism isn't scriptural, you know, it doesn't meet the criteria that, you know, it's not just being dipped, it is a church ordinance. I can't go out here and just baptize somebody and say, oh, it's good. Now, the Lord can give me authority to do that, but I, you know, the authority for for scriptural baptism is through the church. And so we have here, Apollos had been at Corinth, and then he left, and then Paul comes through the upper coast. Let's back up. Apollos had been at Ephesus, if you go back to chapter 18, at Ephesus. And then he goes to Corinth, and he's going to meet Aquila and Priscilla, and they're going to teach him a more scriptural way. Apollos was a great evangelist, but he only knew the baptism of John, and he didn't know about the church, and so Aquila and Priscilla straightened him out on that. And so he had been at Ephesus preaching. Paul, passing through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples, and he said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" Now, since you believed, not when you believed. If it was the Holy Spirit as comforter, he would have asked that, right? But what he's asking is, do you know about what church is? That's what he's asking. Have you received the Holy Spirit as a group, as comforter? And they say, what is this Holy Spirit as comforter? We don't even know what this is. And he said unto them, then what unto were you baptized? Because what's fascinating in the book of Acts, everyone who's saved is baptized, and everyone who is saved, baptized, is then joins a church, or that group is organized into a church, and we only see once that it doesn't happen, and that's with the Ethiopian eunuch, and he's going on, right? So that's the only example we have that there's not a church connection, but the book of Acts is how churches are to act and how we are to act as disciples. We're to be saved, we're to be baptized, and we're to join a church. And so he says, you know, do you know about this church thing? And then he says, what were you baptized? Then were ye baptized? And they said, John's baptism. And so not that they had John's baptism, but somebody that had been baptized by John baptized them. And the story goes, that's why we have Acts 18, I think Apollos baptized them. And then he gets straightened out on by Aquila and Priscilla later on in this chapter. And so they don't know what the church is. And come to find out, then Paul says, John baptized with baptism, repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which some come after him, that is the Christ. When they heard this, Jesus Christ and all that he preached, heard this, they were baptized for the second time, but scriptural baptism acceptable to God. Right? The first one didn't count. So just because you get, you know, John had authority, but those that John baptized didn't have authority. The only people that have authority after John is the Lord's New Testament church. And it's interesting, it says, and we've been looking at John, it says that Jesus baptized more than John. But it says, not Jesus, but his disciples. And who were his disciples? His church. He's already called out his church at this point. It's church baptism. And so, and here's the thing that's really important. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, Paul is a missionary from where? Out of the Antioch church. And he laid hands on them, and the Holy Ghost, as comforter, came upon them. He organized them into a church. They spoke in tongues, prophesied, that is the proof of the Holy Spirit as comforter. Those gifts, those miraculous gifts, are done away with. I don't want to get too tied up in all that. What remains now is faith, hope, and charity. And here's the thing, and there was about 12 men they had organized into a church. And so what's interesting here is, not only do we need to be saved, we need to have scriptural baptism, then we need to join a church. Then we can join a church when we have scriptural baptism. And every saved, baptized person needs to be part of the Lord's church, because we can't fully develop as a child of God if we don't have full connection with the full work, the two different works of the Holy Spirit. And every lost sinner needs to be saved. Every saved child of God needs to be baptized. Every baptized child of God needs to be churched, to be a church member. Every church child of God needs to be faithful. And verse 42 talks about that. And they continued steadfastly. Steadfastly, it means connected, right? They continued steadfastly, diligently in the apostles, right? Doctrine, fellowship, teachings. The apostles, who did Jesus ordain to lead his first church? Later, we find that other pastors and evangelists are being ordained, but the first ones being ordained was the apostles, and they continued to preach and to teach and to lead the church, breaking in bread. I believe that's literally the other ordinance, the Lord's Supper, prayers, praising God, worship, and so they were faithful. And what's interesting is the church here had favor. I believe people who are serving the Lord are going to be people are going to want you to be around them, and neighbors usually like that, unless they just are fighting against God, right? And sometimes we come in contact with people who don't like us. Jesus says, you know, it's not you. They hate you because of me, because we live for Jesus Christ. So every church person needs to be faithful, and that's what the Great Commission talks about. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So there's step one. You know, first you need to know that you're lost, you need to be saved, you need to be baptized, and be part of this church that is going, and teaching them to observe all things, teaching them to be faithful. How to be faithful? Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Sometimes, you know, we want to claim God's promises, all things will work together for good, but if we're not obedient, right, we can't claim those promises. And it starts with, are you saved? Have you followed him in obedience and baptism, or, you know, Lord's church, and are you being faithful? And God has a plan, and we've talked about that. And in closing, there's a verse that I really like. It's good for us to reflect in where we are in our relationship with the Lord. And three times Paul talks about whether you be in the faith, talking about not, this isn't talking about being saved, this is talking about where are you at in your relationship in obedience to the Lord. And he says, examine yourself. Take a look at how you're doing. I preached a New Year message and looking back and you know, are there things that we can do better? I can tell you that all of us can be better in our service for the Lord. So how are we doing? Examine yourselves. Prove. So once you've examined yourselves, then put it to the test. That's what the word prove there means. Test it. Try out that obedience. Know ye not your own selves. You know, you should know yourself in relationship to the Lord. And, you know, if you're not sure of where you are in your walk with the Lord, ask him. He will bear it out to you. Examine, prove, know yourselves. And this morning I want to challenge you. Where are you at? Do you need to be saved? Do you need to be baptized? Do you need to be churched? Do you need to be faithful? I see many people who are all of these. And to some of you, I would challenge, and to me, more faithful, more obedient. What can I do to better serve the Lord? God has a plan, and God wants to bless us, but we have to. Jesus says, "If you love me, what keep my commandments. Be obedient. If the pianist and song leader will come forward, we're going to have a verse of song. Let's all stand.